Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We're going to have a little bit of a shakeup here. There's some breaking news. The council today has had to defer action on executing the $125 million short-term loan, the bond sale, for technical reasons. And joining us is Councilwoman at Large Helena Moreno, Mayor-elect. Helena, welcome to the show.
Hey, Noel. Good morning. Yeah, it really is just a bit of a technicality. Talk with bond counsel Jason Akers, And it's really just about, we want to make sure that all the bank documents are ready to go before we do this approval. We actually have a council meeting next week where we can do this and get it all done. And so we just wanted to make sure that the public wasn't alarmed that anything was going off or wrong or anything like that. It's all moving in the right direction. It's just we moved a little bit too quickly before the bank had everything ready to go.
Well, a lot of people don't realize just how document sensitive this process is, right? Especially when you're dealing with banks, dotting every I, crossing every T, and getting everything in place. And a lot of times you can't do that until you went to the bond commission, got the approval, and then you can start putting together some of this information, right?
Exactly. And we didn't want to have just, a resolution with a lot of blanks in it due to the fact that we didn't have all the information on all of the different terms that the bank documents had. And so, like I said, it really is just a technicality, but we wanted to make sure that no one was alarmed by it. And we had some other measures to pass during the council meeting anyway. But we'll get it done on Wednesday. And Newell, on Wednesday is actually when we start beginning the process of having those weekly meetings to approve the expenditures of the $125 million loan to pay for payroll. That is going to be a very tedious process, but one actually that I welcome because it brings in the state legislative auditor, as we've talked about, and his team, to really be there to review everything that's happening as far as what the expenditures are. So that'll start kind of that process moving forward next week, and every Wednesday we'll be meeting to do those weekly approvals.
Helena, timeline on the bonds themselves, mm-hmm. When is the earliest that you believe that the city would actually have access to those funds?
So the latest information I received today from bond counsel is they're looking at a week from tomorrow is when they believe that they would be able to get those funds. Now, for payroll purposes, when payroll needs to go out, we will have to tap in part of the rainy day fund to meet that, which we will also start doing on Wednesday as well. So a lot of different moving parts to try to keep everything running smoothly, but all of this in complete coordination with Mike Wagisback, the legislative auditor. Every step we're taking is lockstep with him and his team to ensure that the state sees that we are doing everything correctly. And myself, Councilmember DeRusso, Council President Morrell, along with the entire City Council, is fully committed to be lockstep with the legislative auditor to make sure that everything's done right.
So at this juncture, I assume that you guys have three payrolls left for the year of 2025. That would be correct?
Well, the way that payroll actually works and the reason why we have to meet weekly, Newell, is because we actually have a payroll that comes every week. 1 week it's for non-public safety, and then the following week it's for public safety. So it's that's how our payrolls work. Mm-hmm.
So so it's alternated. So at this juncture then, by having to go into the rainy day fund, then it's safe to assume that you guys have exhausted all cash at this juncture.
We'll exhaust our cash, and then the loan kicks in immediately after. So we'll have that funding back. We're talking to the legislative auditor about immediately then refilling what we take from the rainy day fund right then, and then keeping the process, you know, moving forward from that point on.
Yeah. And obviously, as I've talked about this a couple of times in monologues this week, Helena, about the Cantrell administration in the transition, are they allowing you guys to really get down into the granular details and get into some of these agencies as it relates to the management and monitoring of overtime? Because these are big numbers and can be a difference maker in how much money y'all draw down on the $125 million.
So what my transition team has been doing is that they're doing it actually as we speak, they are meeting with individual departments and asking all the tough questions, getting as much information as possible. And I also have hired through transition with privately raised dollars two financial firms who are embedded with my transition team and now in City Hall as well. And they are looking, Newell, for every possible efficiency. And they are looking at, of course, what is happening with overtime. Now, overtime, what we're seeing is that the agency that appears to have the most issues with overtime appears to be NOPD. I'm getting this from the legislative auditor and from the inspector general. Both of them are telling me that there need to be better controls within NOPD for overtime. Now, you know that for me, public safety is a top priority. So I certainly believe that overtime is necessary to ensure that we have the right level of coverage across the city to keep the people of New Orleans and our visitors safe. No doubt about it. But at the same time, I do not have a penny that we can waste at this point. So I also have to ensure that NOPD, that Chief Kirkpatrick, puts in the right controls so that there isn't any type of abuse and that there are some controls in place. And I've talked to her about this, and she is looking at several things right now. And so I hope that she gets a handle on this situation quickly. She says she's putting together some plans for 2026, which I very much appreciate, but this issue needs to be dealt with right now. And I can tell you that it appears that Inspector General Michelle is going to be coming out with a report. I think he told me in a couple of weeks that's going to show some abuse that has been occurring with overtime. And, you know, when that's shown too, Newell, I hate to say it too, but it also kind of, you know, taints a lot of just the overall overtime, you know, processes as a whole. So it's like, that's why I told her, it's like, look, as this report starts to come out with the IG, you really have to get out there and get a handle and get some real controls as to what's happening, because I don't want to put it out there that, you know, overtime is being misused or misapplied by the bulk of NOPD, because I don't think that's happening. But, you know, we do have to get control on some things that are probably not being done correctly.
Yeah, you know, my experience has been that your frontline supervisors are the first line of defense against, a runaway overtime budget. Everybody wants to be a manager until it's time to manage, right? And, you know, it's, you can't befriend people by virtue of payroll expenditures. And,
right.
You know, and it really, in my view, require somebody that's close in your administration to be in those meetings to gain a better understanding of what the staffing is and why, and you know how we're granting leave and when we grant leave. And it can't just be, you know, you grant leave whenever people want to take their leave. That's not how it works, because the entity's interest outweighs the individual's, and your overtime number will run away in a heartbeat. I know it happened to me, and you know, we had to take significant remedial action on many occasions because it just gets away because people don't want to manage. It's the nature of the beast. It's just one of those things, you know. And you have the same thing, and I talked about this morning, Helena, about a policy as to whether or not you can take leave to go work a detail.
Right.
Bad policy. I'm not making any friends when I say that, but the reality is it's too hard to manage an overtime budget when you allow that to happen, when it depends upon the whim of an officer. It's hard to get your hands around it. I know y'all have a lot on your plate at the present time, but it's a big number. It needs to come down for sure, because it's going to be difficult when you're if you have to draw down the 125, as you well know. That's a deep hole to crawl out of.
Look, it is quite a mess I'm being left with, no doubt about it. And you know, Newell, you may have recalled that I had a commercial during the campaign that had me in front of a dumpster fire. I just didn't realize how big the dumpster or the fire actually was going to be. And this is quite a big dumpster and quite a big fire. But, you know, failure is not an option. I'm going to clean up this mess. It is going to be tough, and it will be painful. I also have to let people know that. You know, as we work to find different efficiencies, we likely will have to make very tough choices around furloughs, around layoffs. There are over 660 unclassified, so non-civil service employees at City Hall right now, and I'm asking them to all reapply for their positions. So I have to make these hard decisions on behalf of the people of the city, so that I ensure that I provide the right cost-cutting measures, but also provide the essential city services that the people of the city deserve and that they pay for. And so it's right now, Newell, dissecting. It's not just looking at every department. It's dissecting every department, looking at every contract, every vendor, because this deficit that we have is one of the biggest that, you know, we've seen in recent history that I'll be dealing with. But I will get us out of this. It will take me a minute to get us out of this, but there is a path. And as we move out of this, you know, obviously there's different revenue raising measures that I'll be looking at as well, and working with our state partners and doing all possible to ensure that we finally work aggressively to put back into commerce our city buildings that we're not using at this point, something that everyone talks about, but no one really did anything about. And so these are the types of initiatives that I'm working on now and can't wait to really hit the ground running on January 12th.
Yeah, those are cost centers that you don't need to have, right? I mean, they're no matter, you know, even if they're not being used, there's expenditures there that are just almost like throwing money away if you're not going to use those facilities. I think the school board facing the same issue. I saw that they just started putting a bunch of their properties back into the stream of commerce. You know, they were complaining they wish they could get more because of the timing of the marketplace. But, you know, there's no good time, and it's rare that you actually hit the sweet spot. We can all want and have a desire to do so, but it doesn't happen that often.
Yeah, and there are properties that the city currently owns that developers want, that we can figure out, you know, long-term leases. That's probably more beneficial to the city than to just offload the property to have, you know, 99-year lease, something like that, so that you still ultimately own the property. But those things need to be worked on very aggressively and tenaciously. Moving forward, not just like, oh, okay, well, that's good to know. I mean, there's some parcels of land that the city has, you know, part interest in, and there are other players in it too, where we need to work aggressively to unlock that. I mean, I think about the Lake Forest Plaza in New Orleans East, where it's like you have all these different players and everyone's like, oh, it's such a mess. It's too hard to deal with. It's like, well, let's get in there. Let's all get into a room and figure it out. Let's do what it takes to figure it out and create, you know, opportunity on that parcel of land that seems so many actually want to get in there and develop. So, like I said, I definitely see the areas where we can move forward with really positive initiatives. And ultimately, I know that I have a big challenge ahead and I'm going to face it head on, but I also view this challenge as an opportunity to really rebuild government and get it right so that we are putting people in the right places so that they are delivering the very best services for the people of this city. And look, I keep saying that I know that it's going to be hard and it's going to be painful what we go through when I first get into office. And as I look at, you know, the possibilities of furloughs and layoffs, like it really is, you know, something that is gut-wrenching to me. And you know, because of that, as I've been planning, Newell, my inaugural events and things like that, I'm like, look, there is no way that I can go and have the big ball and all this stuff as, you know, former mayors have had if I'm potentially going to have to be furloughing or laying off people. And so even as I think about, like, what I'm planning to do for my inaugural events, like, I want people to know that, you know, that I'm not going to be out there like, you know, with this fancy, big old fancy ball as others are suffering. So I'm also planning kind of it's going to be a lovely, you know, inauguration for the people of the city, but it's also going to be scaled back. And all of my inaugural activities will be paid for with private dollars. Because, like I said, there is not one excess penny that can be spent on things that are not necessary. I'm already looking at Mardi Gras. You know, every year the mayor has a Mardi Gras ball, and there are some city funds that are expended on that. We need to cut that out. That's we can't have excess at this time. We just can't. Like, that's where we're at. But, you know, I've always been the type of person who's not here for the perks, but here for the work. So let's just get to it.
And I think the public is going to be behind you 1,000%. They appreciate the honesty. And I just want to let everybody know that Helena asked to come on. So we move people around and we appreciate that as well. And, you know, I've told you many times, anytime that you need to get a message out, give us a shout. We'll get you on right away because this is important. I think we got one shot at this, right? And we got to get it right from the very beginning. And the sooner that we can right this ship, the sooner that we can grow our population. And that's really what it's about at the end of the day, because we will remain a third-tier city until we do so.
Absolutely. I agree. Thank you, Newell.
Thank you so much. We know you're busy. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Okay. Chat soon. Bye.
All righty, folks, that's Helena Moreno, the incoming mayor of the city of New Orleans and councilwoman at large. Really appreciate her coming on and letting everybody know exactly what's happening relative to this delay in deferring action on executing the $125 million bond issue for good reasons. There are a lot of technicalities. You want to make sure you dot the I's, cross the T's. You want to get it right the first time, and you don't want to be subject to criticism by not doing it or maybe rushing it. And I'd rather wait, get it right, and be able to move on and put that behind us. So I agree with the mayor-elect wholeheartedly. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870. We'll visit with Becky Mowbray, president and CEO of BGR, the Bureau of Governmental Research. We'll be talking about the ballot items that you'll be voting on Saturday, November 15th. Stay with
us. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
This. Welcome back, folks. On the text line, wow, she is a breath of fresh air talking about Mayor-elect Helena Moreno. And we're joined now by Becky Mowbray, President and CEO of BGR, the Bureau of Governmental Research. Becky, welcome to the show, and thank you for accommodating us and allowing the mayor to jump into your slot. We really appreciate it.
Of course. There's nothing more important than the city's finances right now. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so let's talk about that first before we talk about the ballot issues. I really like the approach of the mayor coming out and saying, look, we deferred because we don't have all the I's dotted, the T's crossed. It's a technical thing, but we want to put everybody's, you know, at ease and at rest. That's been talked about a lot. Your thoughts?
I think she's right. It's very important to get this right. And if we take a moment to, you know, make sure those T's are crossed and I's are dotted, it's a good thing. Public trust right now has been very low. It's really shaken public confidence that we've ended up in this situation with the $160 million budget hole. And if they are taking a moment to make sure that we're doing it right, that's a very good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You probably have been watching the construct of this deal that was worked out with the bond commission and the legislative auditor. I happen to think it's a good approach. I'm glad all the adults got in the room and were able to craft something and come out with, I think, something meaningful. Your thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so, too, that it seems like they've come up with a good structure for a deal, you know, that the new incoming administration, you know, retains control, but having the legislative auditor having to sign off on expenditures from this emergency bond proceeds and having the resources of the LLA to be looking at things, scrutinizing things. I mean, as Mayor-elect Moreno's just said in her comments, like, she's got a lot that she's trying to get her arms around right now. And we really need to understand, you know, the sources more deeply, the sources of this problem, and to figure out how to come up with it. And so having the capabilities of the legislative auditor in the mix seems like a really good thing.
You know, it'd be a lot easier if it was just one big thing, right? And there might be some things that are larger than others, but I think it's going to be a collection of a lot of, you know, small to medium size issues that are presented as they get through this process.
Agree. I mean, we didn't get here overnight. You know, we at BGR have been concerned about the spending out of, you know, the general fund balance without a policy to guide that. And, you know, the outcome, I mean, we'd been hoping to preserve money in case we ever needed it for an emergency. Now we're, you know, going to be using, like, basically all of the money that we've got, you know, in reserve to keep the city, you know, being able to pay people and keeping city services running. You know, that is fairly depressing. And, you know, some of the things that have come out about police overtime, I mean, that came to light in February. And if you took a close look at it, it should have been fairly obvious that an inadequate amount of overtime had been budgeted. And then for whatever reason, you know, they didn't attempt to solve this problem back in February, the second month of the fiscal year. And it's pretty hard to do something about it in month 11. So I think this is, you know, an important opportunity to take a look at how the city accomplishes its budgeting. How is the information about expenditures being used to adjust the budget to make sure that we as a city are living within our means, and also to make sure that we are spending on the things that are essential and that are public priorities, and not spending money on anything that we don't need to be.
Yeah. Let's pivot this Saturday, a big vote, quite frankly, on a number of bond propositions. BGR, as always, has generated a very in-depth, even down to a granular level, report on these ballot issues. Let's try and make our way through that, some of the most important ones first, if you don't mind.
Sure. There are three ballot propositions for voters in Orleans Parish this Saturday, asking the public to approve the issuance of up to $510 million in bonds. It's actually three separate proposals that are pretty well targeted. In the order that they go on in the ballot, number one is a proposed $45 million for housing affordability issues. The second proposal is $415 million for city infrastructure, things like streets, buildings, parks, and equipment. And then the third one is $50 million for drainage.
So let's go. Let's talk about the first one, affordable housing. BGR's come out against this particular initiative. Let's talk about why.
Sure. There had been a lot of there was a lack of clarity throughout the fall on how they were going to use this money. Last year at this time, voters approved a change to the city charter that said that each year in the city budget, the city has to set aside the equivalent of 2% of the city's general fund to use for housing affordability issues. Affordable housing, of course, is a major issue facing the city. There had been a question about how they were going to use this bond money. In recent weeks, as there's been more information about the, you know, city's budget hole and whatnot coming out, it's been said that they would use the money from the bond proceeds to pay for this required annual dedication. And we have several concerns about that. One is that when voters put this in the charter, it became, you know, a non-negotiable thing that you've got to pay for every year. It's now a required recurring expense. And what they're proposing doing is taking, you know, one-time money with the bond, with a bond sale, and using that for recurring revenues. That's not a smart way to go about paying for a recurring expense. It's also a short-term solution. If voters approve $45 million in bonds, next year the required housing trust fund, infusion is estimated to be about $14.5 million. So that means you really only get about 3 years out of it, and then you got to come up with a solution. We believe that the city needs to come up with a sustainable solution to pay for this. You know, when they went to voters with this last year, the assumption was that they were going to be able to afford it, and the city's going to need to make some, you know, choices about priorities in order to be able to spend this and to afford this. And then finally, it's an expensive solution, because if you pay for something that's, you know, over the 30-year life of the bonds, the costs end up going up about 40%. So the annual dedication of, you know, what in 2026 will be $14.5 million would end up costing $24.1 million when everything is done. And that's one thing if you're talking about, you know, a building or a piece of infrastructure that's going to be here for a long time. It's another if you're talking about that as a recurring expense. So we had we just had a lot of concerns about it and don't think it's the right way to go. Interestingly, there's also a leading housing advocacy group that also came out against it because they didn't like the way it was going to be working as well.
You know, this is the proverbial, if I knew then what I know now, this probably would not have passed, right? I mean, we would have come to the recognition that we can't afford to give up 2% of the general fund. And where we find ourselves today, this likelihood of, of this even being passed, or I guess, is it mandatory that they fund it to that level? There's no discretion
on the 2%? There is a small thing that if they declare a financial emergency...
Well, that's a no-brainer.
No one has talked about that so far. But we initially were... I don't have at my fingertips like all the details on what would enable them to do so, like what the criteria are and all that. But you know, when this came before voters in November of 2024, we at BGR were against it because we felt like there was not enough financial flexibility in it. And again, we recognize that housing is a major issue facing the city. And, you know, the city's done some good work in planning for this and things like that. But we looked at a bunch of other cities that have housing trust funds and nobody else does it like this. And there's more financial flexibility in other cities, you know, methods of approaching this. And yeah, we never imagined that, you know, a year later, like the first year of funding this thing, you'd end up in this financial crisis that would make it really difficult.
Yeah. Let's talk about the second ballot initiative, drainage and stormwater management in the amount of $50 million.
Sure. So we found in favor of that one. As everybody knows, drainage is a major issue facing the city. For this proposal, there is, and also for the largest, the infrastructure proposal, there is actually a list of projects for it that, you know, would give voters a good sense of accountability, that there is a pre-approved list. And again, just like with the main one for the infrastructure, if the city wanted to go back and make any changes on it, they would have to come before the council. And so the public would have an opportunity to weigh in. And yeah, drainage is very much needed in the city. And this is, you know, an appropriate way to pay for it and all that. So we felt like the stormwater one was worthy of a yes vote.
All right. Let us get to a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the city infrastructure bond proposition. When we return, we're visiting with Becky Mowbray, president and CEO of BGR, the Bureau of Governmental Research. Stay with us. We'll be
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Right back. Welcome back, folks. We are visiting with Becky Mowbray, President and CEO of BGR, the Bureau of Governmental Research. They have issued a report on a number of bond propositions that are on Saturday's ballot, November 15th, which is Election Day, and we encourage you to get out and vote. And Becky, now the largest one, $415 million bond proposal for city infrastructure.
Yes. So we came out in favor of this one as well because there is good accountability built in. There is a list that the city has published of 128 projects that would be funded by this. Again, if there were any changes that they wanted to make, after if this is approved by voters, it would need to come before the council. So there's good accountability in it. These are all priority sorts of things that, citizens have really wanted to see move forward. And there are projects in every district of the city. We did have a couple of recommendations, however, with this one. And we recommend that the city create a public-facing dashboard with this list of projects and that they also swing in cost information on them and the status of the projects so that voters can more easily track what happens to the money. We also have been calling for the city at the same time, if voters approve this, to really start doing a better job of allocating money for maintaining public assets, whether they are things like streets or buildings, because, if voters approve this, they'll be paying for these bonds for the next 30 years. And if the city isn't paying to maintain things along the way, then we're not going to get the full useful life out of all of the things on that project list. And, if you let things slip enough in maintenance, which they should be paying out of the regular, general fund budget, they start to all of a sudden, if you let things degrade enough, then they become capital projects. So, we think it is appropriate for the city to start making a difference on that. At the same time, we did feel like all of this work that's on the list are things that are very much needed. And so we came out as a yes on that one.
Yeah, what I like about this project is obviously for who knows how many years, we really haven't been funding CapEx, right? We haven't reinvested mm-hmm. into our own long-term assets. This is an opportunity to catch up. I don't know that it gets us everywhere that we need to be, but without it, we would probably never catch up, right?
Yes. And one of the things that I think city officials have been trying to send the word about is that voters are hearing, or residents are hearing, lots of scary headlines right now about city finances and things, but these bonds are, it's a separate thing, and it's about investing in infrastructure for the future. Fixing a lot of things that citizens feel like need to be fixed, and it enables the city to move forward on those.
And there's a dedicated revenue source just for this that the city historically taps into periodically when they pay these bonds down and then they reestablish the bonds. So there's no new taxes.
It's not a new tax. Citizens do, if you vote yes on these things, you are implicitly agreeing to pay a debt tax that funds these things. That debt tax has been going down in recent years because, we've been paying off like the previous bond issues. And so public officials were very careful to structure this so that there's no increase in the amount of money that you'd be paying on this debt tax. It's 14.5 mils and it would continue as is.
Absolutely. And we always thank you for the incredible job that y'all do in pulling all of this data together and assembling these reports and making them available to the public. And always well done. Thank you so much for joining us, Becky Mowbray,
Thank
President
you.
And CEO of BGR. Have a great week.
Thanks. You too.
All righty. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.